With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is it, the Alt and Our Stars podcast. Maybe you listen all the time, maybe you're new, maybe you hate me, but you really like this week's guest, and that's why you're listening, whatever. I thank you for checking this out. If you're new, this is a weekly podcast I host. My name is Chris Payne. I do this podcast for Billboard.com, and I have a conversation with someone in the world of alternative music that I think will be interesting. Usually it winds up being interesting, and I think this week fits. Had a band called Into It Over It by the Billboard office in New York. Chatted to Josh and Evan a couple days after seeing them play a show at Irving Plaza in New York, and we talk about that a lot. Also talk about their new album. It's called Standards. I think it's a great entrance point for getting into the bands. They've released a lot of music before, but this is near the top of what they've done, I think. It's also really accessible, so a good place to start with all of their music. And if you're a diehard, well, we talk a lot about people like you in this podcast, what it's like for the guys in the band when the really, really intense fans chat them up after shows, why they think a lot of people outside of the diehards misunderstand them. So a lot of stuff to check out here. I hope you enjoy it. And, you know, I've been doing this podcast for over a year, coming up on a year and a half now, so means a lot of old episodes to dig into, some past guests I've had on who I think you would like if you were into It Over It, Beach Slang, Big Ups, Courtney Barnett have all been on the show recently, so to check out those archives, a few ways you can do it. You can just go into iTunes, search the podcasts for The Alt and Our Stars. You can just go into the podcast app on your phone, search for The Alt and Our Stars, or if you're listening to this on Billboard.com, just go towards the bottom of the story, and there's a link there to go to iTunes and check it all out. And so yeah, feedback is also extremely, extremely important. I thank you so much for all you've been sending me. The best is to get a star rating. I know if you listen to lots of podcasts, you probably hear hosts always say this, but it's true. Star rating helps immensely with everything that we do. So if you could find it in your heart to do that, I would greatly appreciate it. But either way, just thank you so much for listening. So this is it. Alt and Our Stars with Into It Over It. Boom. So we're podcasting here with Into It Over It at Billboard.
Hell yeah.
Hello.
Killing it. Just after a little acoustic performance for, what was it? 3,000? It was a lot of people watching. I didn't get the exact count.
Don't look at me. I don't know. They just told me to play the guitar. I play the guitar.
What is a number of people who you think were watching?
I want to say 5 million. That seems like a nice round number.
Yeah, that's a good figure.
It also, that would be a lot of what branding.
Yeah.
That would work for my branding really well, my brand.
Are those unique visits? Or
yeah, no, they're
refreshed.
They're
are
refreshed,
those unique?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
I mean, that's a good question to follow that up with. That's like a pro follow-up right there. You hear some figure like, are those unique?
Well, I've been in Manhattan for like an hour. It's fine.
You've already heard like a week's worth of branding talk, 1 hour in Manhattan.
Wow, yeah, I mean, we're mostly in this office, actually.
Yeah, I work here 5 days a week, so I can.
You can relate.
That's not too far off. But we love branding and all things that come with branding.
To be unbranded.
That's a great idea for a brand.
So New York's been good to you guys. I was at the show on Friday night at Irving Plaza, and you guys said that was the most attended Intuit Overit show ever.
Yeah, ever, of all time. Yeah, it took the cake as the biggest Intuit Overit show in history, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. How do you compile things like that?
Just memory.
All right.
I know we've never played to a room that big before, so the fact that that would happen the other night, that's... I mean, it's pretty easy to remember.
So basically just looking out into the crowd and, okay, this is more people than I've ever seen before.
That's not, well, so I've played shows that are more attended.
Lala, right? Because you did Lala.
We did Lala. Yeah. We've opened for, like, Brand New, and we've opened, you know, we did, like, Grows Rock and stuff. I've done Grows Rock and stuff. But as far as it being, like, an Intuit Overit headlining show that was, like, our show, that was the biggest show we've ever done.
Nice. How did that feel on stage? Just
felt awesome. Yeah,
it was really
it was super satisfying.
Yeah,
made you feel like the last 7 years of my life were a complete waste of time.
Yeah, that's, I mean, because you've been doing the band for a while.
Yeah,
I would
since 2008.
Say 2008. Okay,
2007 actually.
Okay.
Yeah,
and I mean, lots of bands, lots of projects, and yeah. What is that like in your head when just everything is coalescing into like a moment like that? Like, wow, this is a big one.
It feels like the project still has ability to grow.
Okay.
And I think knowing that that's possible and knowing that that's still showing signs of return and that there still isn't a ceiling yet on what we're doing, that's makes it inspiring and encouraging to keep working just as hard as I was or we were 7 years ago.
Yeah. And I think Standards, the new album, plays a lot better into a big room like that.
I agree.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with that kind of crowd environment, with that kind of excitement surrounding the show too, and like the give and take between us and the audience, that really like allows us to play those songs even better, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, I think that's like especially a song like No EQ.
Yeah.
You know, more rock songs.
Totally. We played a show in Phoenix, and my friend Jake, who's seen the band dozens of times, he's like, yeah, I love that you're playing songs off the new record. He's like, I can dance at Intuit Overit shows now. And not like slam dance or anything. He can actually like dance to the songs because the songs are upbeat. And he's like, yeah, before, you know, it'd kind of be, you know, it'd work in waves, and there'd be like a couple, like one or two I could dance to. But now he's like, I could dance through the whole set. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Which I've never thought about that, like Intuit Overit being a band you could... you know, shake your butt too. It's a good feeling.
Not sure I ever thought of Intuit Overit that way, but yeah, sure.
And I open to new experiences, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, there's just more choruses on this album.
It was intentional.
Okay. Yeah. They didn't just pop up.
No, it was well thought out and calculated.
Yeah. It's interesting because, like, I read about how the recording process is super secluded cabin.
Well, the writing process was.
The
recording process was us in the Mission in San Francisco, so we were in the thick of it. But we wrote the record in an isolated cabin, maybe like 2 hours from the closest major city in Vermont, which was not this past January, but the January before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of the songs on the album, like Anesthetic maybe, seem like cabin songs. They're just like very, very cozy acoustic tracks. Like it seems like kind of a contrast how some like the more rockin' songs came out of a setting like that.
I mean, a lot of that was just us, like regardless, we weren't writing with the scenery in mind. You know, we were writing with the experience in mind and how we could push ourselves as musicians and creative forces. And so a lot of that was us being like, well, how fast can you play the song? How fast can you play the song? Can you play it fast? Can you play it faster? Can you play it, like, how, or even with in the case of Anesthetic, how slow can you play it? How slow can you play the song? And which really, you know, which is why we were there. We were there to become better players. We were there to be become better communicators. We were there to, challenge ourselves creatively. And yeah. I think that the record is a result of all of those things.
We're and both of you were on hand for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Josh, it was just the two of us.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. Yeah, so, talking about the tour, it's a really great lineup you guys put together with World is a Beautiful Place, Opening, Sidekicks, and Pine Grove.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like one of those lineups where it must have taken a lot to get it together, because I feel like in a little while it's going to be hard to get all those bands together at the same time. Like, take me through that, putting that all together.
Well, Sidekicks and Pine Grove actually came together pretty easily. It was, I really loved that Sidekicks record, so I asked them to do the tour, and they said yes right away, so which was really, really cool. Mm-hmm. I was kind of concerned because members of that band play in a bunch of other bands as well, and like one of them being called Saint Seneca and the other one being called All Dogs, and so there's a lot of other commitments that all of them might have at any given time. But Sidekicks were available, they wanted to do it, they were ready to go. And then Pine Grove, my old friend Greg is their booking agent, he'd been asking me about us bringing them on tour for a long time, and heard the new record and I loved it. And so,
and the release was coinciding.
Yeah, like their album was coming out right when the tour was starting, so it was like, this is perfect timing for them, this is perfect timing for us to bring them. So those came together super easily. Bringing World Is took a long time to figure out, only because we were trying to find a band to be the direct support slot, and I hadn't thought about World Is because we did a headlining tour with them 2 years ago, and I just hadn't thought about it because of that. It was like, oh, we toured together before, like, would that be weird to ask them again? And, you know, we'd asked a bunch of people, and a lot of people were all kind of doing the same thing we were doing. Like, they were all doing their own headlining tours. And so we were at the fest in Florida, and World Is was also there. And I was like, hey, you know what? Actually, like, would you guys think this was weird if we asked you to do this tour? Like, I know we did this before, but would you want to do it again? And all of them, it was like a resounding yes. So it was like, okay, awesome, cool, great. This is the lineup.
Like, easy, great.
I don't know why I hadn't thought about it before. I just, like... I kind of thought maybe people wouldn't be excited about that idea, but considering they just put out a great new record, and I'd just done a really successful U.S. tour as well, it was kind of like, man, this may be, just bring our friends. We know it works, so let's do it.
So it just popped up in conversation down at Fest.
Yeah, I'm just like, hey, do you guys want to tour the United States with us again? And they were like, yeah, we had an awesome time last time, so yeah.
Is that how these things normally come up, or sometimes it's just like a formal email, or your people talking to people?
It's a little bit of both.
Yes. Yeah.
I think in the case of Intuit Orbit, though, a lot of the tours that we've done or that I've done or that are headlining, are very well curated and very well... we have relationships with these bands already. And so for us to ask them to come, it would be a personal thing. Like, I would reach out personally and be like, hey, do you guys want to come with us on this trip? And I prefer to work that way. I mean, if a band was going to ask me to go on tour, I would love it if the band personally came to me.
Right.
So... I like to try to give that same level of respect.
Yeah, is it daunting coming on after Intuit Over, or coming on after World Is?
Not at all. Not at all.
Because they're pretty epic the way they close things down.
It's just a different style altogether. Like, we're not the same band in any way.
Yeah.
So, it's I'm not intimidated by that whatsoever, and I don't think...
More or less, it's been inspiring.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, like, I guess I don't really parse it that way. Like, necessarily.
Yeah, I don't know if... Like, it's not a competition.
Well, how are we going to follow that? It's more like, that was incredible. I feel like playing my instrument now.
Yeah. And we've got our own vibe. Like, they're a very, dark and somber vibe, and we're the one... You know, we like to have fun and be, fucking good at our instruments. And so that's... It's just a completely different style. So, like, World Is kind of brings you down, and then we're there to, lift everybody back up. But I think there's things that are equally exciting about both, really, frankly, about every band on the tour. And it's just different things that each band is really good at.
Yeah.
I think that's been the special thing about the tour, too, is it is everyone, it's all rock bands, but it's a really well-curated evening,
It's very curated.
And people have been sticking around for the entire show. Like, people show up, see Pine Grove, there's an up and down, it moves.
There's a dynamic to the show. Which is what we wanted. I want a show to feel like you're listening to a record, and like your favorite records are the ones that are dynamic. So if the show feels that way and there's a nice arch, then people leave the show being really psyched at what they just saw. Mm. So, and they also don't get tired, which is the other thing.
Have you been on any tours before that were kind of like this with the whole arch you're talking about?
Have, where there's been a really good one or no arch?
I guess you'd say, I guess because I have had a bad one, but I'm thinking about another tour that just had a very good, you know, flow across it of different vibes.
Well, when we did the same tour with World Is and Grapey Pile Leaves a couple years ago, that was a pretty similar one. Because we would also choose, there were local bands on every show, and we would handpick the local bands for every show.
So right.
We were able to curate that as well. As far as another tour we may have done with a really good arch.
Oh, I really liked the Roswell Kid, us doing direct Forget Up Kids.
Forget Up Kids, yeah, like, I thought that was a nice vibe.
Yeah, that was a really nice vibe.
And then also, I thought Hostage Calm, Us Saves the Day was a nice vibe.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Was that the Get Up Kids show in New York like last December?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I really wanted to go to that one, but I couldn't make it.
At Irving Plaza, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, because you guys have opened up for a bunch of like older acts, like really influential emo and indie bands, like the Get Up Kids. I saw the Mineral Reunion.
Yeah.
Are there any I'm missing? What are some of the other bands you've opened for?
I've done. I did a couple shows with Texas Is the Reason.
We did the One American Football Reunion show.
We did that show. Did a small West Coast tour with Owls. I did. What else was there? Those are the only ones that really like come to mind immediately.
Yeah, as far as like heritage bands are concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Promise Ring on New Year's Eve. We did that.
Okay. Oh, that was sick.
Yeah.
That was this New Year's Eve?
Yeah, yeah.
That was Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
They were doing a show at the Metro, and Dan, their drummer, hit me up on a direct message on Instagram and asked me if we wanted to play. And it was the perfect timing because I always hate planning what we're going to do on New Year's Eve.
Mm.
It was like, oh, cool, this is a thing that like all of our friends are going to be at anyway, so now we just have New Year's Eve plans.
Yeah, brand.
It's perfect.
Yeah, how did this all come up with like kind of being the go-to bands for these sort of Mike Kinsella?
No. I mean, Mike and I were friends from before, but Mike's not the person who would ask me to play. And I mean, actually, frankly, Mike and I are both managed by the same company. So
okay.
But Mike is not my connection to to Texas Is the Reason or Promise Ring or any of these people. Those are all people that I became friends with independently.
I think within any scene, involvement is key.
Yeah, I mean, people just become friends and know each other and meet and communicate, and it's just like anything else.
Mm. Again, I guess from just like being involved and like having projects for, you know, about 10 years plus, it comes with that. Just being embedded in that terrain.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's where we all came from. Yeah. I mean, everyone came from the same kind of, like, punk and indie rock background where it's all about just being friendly, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest part of it, you know? You get a reputation for being a nice person, and it just becomes word of mouth, and then people introduce you to other people, and those friendships last forever. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for you as a performer and for Intuit over it as a band, it's very easy for us to be in those situations because we are those people, like they are us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's easy to have a conversation with those folks.
Yeah, we did a tour with Minus the Bear and they were like the same, it was like the same exact wavelength as us, just maybe like 5 years older.
Okay.
You know, and they, you know, knew, it was really cool to see a band that has been around for so long and be as popular as they are also be so warm and friendly to the four of us, you know, and immediately embrace us and immediately like be looking out for us because we were the band that they brought on tour.
Yeah.
Which is kind of rare sometimes. You know, not every band that you go out and support is going to be friendly that way. So, you know, that's inspiring to us. And it's also like, you know, and they made it very like, yeah, we're from the same world you're from, man. Like, you know, that's really cool to see, you know.
Yeah, because I'm sure there's lots of acts you tour with now and you can kind of empathize with that where they're like so stoked to be playing with you guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like to think so, yeah. I mean, we do our best to try to look out for whoever we bring, you know, and we've been there. We've been that band that's opened the shows and made $100 or less, you know, and we've been the band that's had to do the long van drives when another band is touring in a bus, and we've been the band that...
Yeah, like you just drove 12 hours and here's your three square feet of stage space.
Yeah, having a cram on there, you know, like we've been that band, we've done those things, and we want, you know, to not put another band through the same kind of hellish experiences we might have experienced in this band or in other bands.
Yeah, and it's interesting, I'm putting together now how there's like this middle ground with you guys where there were like the influential artists who you looked up to and you're in between, and then there's a lot of artists who look up to you guys by now.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool.
I guess like most artists would have some sort of middle ground like that, but for you, there's just a good amount of both of it. It's sort of, it's a very middle ground.
And it's a common respect between both sides. You know, like, we respect our elders as much as we respect our youngers.
Respect the elders. Yeah. Are there any, like, artists who have influenced you a lot who maybe are out there touring now where you feel like, ooh, it's a possibility who you would really be into opening for?
Yes, but I don't want to jinx
it. You don't want to shut
it. I don't
want to
jinx it by telling you. Because if I say it out loud, then it may never happen.
I would love to go on tour with Fucked Up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was a band that we talked
like
about.
That is, like, absolutely a band that I would, yeah.
Yeah, there'd be a good arc there, too.
Totally.
With, like, vibes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean, we're a loud band. You know, that's another thing we really try to be cognizant of, is, like, how is our tone and how loud we can be while also still being dynamic. And so we all came from kind of a hardcore background, so we feel like we could at least cut our teeth.
I think we could hold our own.
Yeah.
I mean, if that were ever a possibility. If Fucked Up's listening.
Have you ever opened for Sunny Day or played alongside them?
No, but they're my, like, top two favorite bands of all time. So
yeah.
I would love to do that. That would be it. That'd be the end. I'll be all, like, it would be like, okay, I'm never opening for another reunited band ever again. That's it. That's the last one. It'll never be better than that.
When you, a second ago, didn't want to jinx it, was that maybe the artist you were thinking about?
No, that wasn't at
okay,
all.
Okay.
I don't think about opening for bands in terms of, like, who... Well, first of all, you asked what bands are still going.
Okay.
So I wasn't thinking about that, but I try not to consider, like, fantasy broken up kind of heritage bands as bands that we've done that a lot. And it's not, you know, of course we're, like, honored to go on tour with those bands or, like, do an opening show for them, but that's, like, I think we've gotten most of our fill of what we would love to see and also experience. We've pretty much seen it all. We've seen and done it all.
In terms of, like, the middle ground that you're talking about, like, being in a position where bands can look up to you and, like, in turn you can also look up to bands, like, it's great to be able to be in a position where you can support heritage acts all of the time, but at a certain point you start to coin yourself as that, so that becomes a slippery slope also.
You don't want to just be that band that plays all of those shows.
The band, which is basically what I brought up, like, five minutes.
And it's like, and, you know, and we're aware of that, you know, but it's also, it's hard when a band whose records meant a lot to you asks you to play a show, like, why would you say no? You know, like, there's no reason to say no, but, yeah, you just don't want to be, like, that be the only thing you do, you know? Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you feel about legacy bands getting back together in general?
I mean, it doesn't bother me. I mean, having just played a reunion show with my old band this past year and having as much fun as I did, because I had a ton of fucking fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't fault people for having nostalgia. You know, I have nostalgia all the time.
Yeah.
And frankly, a lot of times the songs are, like, super fun to play. And you're with your friends and you're hanging out. You know, I would only be bummed if people were getting together and they just did not get along at all. Mm-hmm. And that's like, well, then why are you here? You know, like, the point is to relive this exciting moment where everyone is just, like, really happy to be there and experiencing the same exciting thing, at least in my mind. I wouldn't be, but I've always been more inclined to be drawn to vibe instead of money.
Yeah,
and I think it's the way in which bands choose to do it, too. You know, certain bands have just chosen to do a few festivals and play a few really marginal shows, and certain bands have chosen to write a record and release that and then announce that they're getting back together and doing a tour. And I think that's a really great look, you know, because then you're not relying on the legacy.
Yeah, you're relying on just being, like, a band.
Yeah, yeah. Are there any artists who you, like, look to as sort of, like, models or guidance when making decisions with these sorts of things? Like, what will Intuit Over It do?
No. Intuit Over It's a fucking pirate ship.
Yeah. All right.
We play by our own rules and do our own things at all times. And if we want to do something, we will. And if we don't, we won't. And so I think that's a big part of why the band is so commonly misunderstood. But I also think it's a big part of why we're able to do a lot of the things we're able to do. And operate on our own terms, which is something that when I'm able to look back on this project, you know, years and years down the line, I don't have to feel like I compromised anything. You know, I can, and if I was going to blame anyone for anything, I could blame myself, you know. And that allows me to sleep at night.
Yeah.
I think at a certain point, like, obviously are people that had a roadmap. There are obviously people that influenced, but I think at this point too, all of us are just sort of in this relatively uncharted territory.
Yeah.
So, like, we're all using just past experience as our guide at this point.
We're just rolling the dice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you said that the band is, like, misunderstood by lots of people, what did you mean by that?
I think people have a hard time trying to peg down what they don't quite understand. And I think the fact that Intuit Over It does, like, I've never made the same record two times in a row. And how there's something kind of unpredictable about what Intuit Over It's going to do at any given time. I think that is hard for people to necessarily latch on to, because there is no, like, yeah, while we've been, like, lumped into a couple different genres, we're not really super into any one of them, you know. It's
what,
like,
could you be talking about?
We kind of, like, ride on this periphery of what the band should sound like, and no other bands sound like us, and we don't really sound like any other band. So it's kind of like, that's hard for people to peg. That's hard for people to, like, to fit us into a hole, and people do, but it's kind of, you know, sometimes just for, like, because journalists are fucking lazy. But, like,
yeah, because rock and roll doesn't count as a legitimate genre.
Yeah, you can't just say you're like a rock band. But I think it's tough for people to kind of figure out exactly what Intuit Over It is. You know, there's no, is it like, is it just me? Is it a band? Is it, you know, we have, you know, three full-length albums and then also a ton of splits and EPs in 52 weeks, and, like, none of it, it's all vaguely the same, but none of it is, like, totally exactly the same.
Yeah.
And that's how I like it. I mean, I started it with 52 weeks, so that way, if I were to write anything in the future, there'd be a line you could draw from 52 weeks that would make it make sense. Like, I could do anything after 52 weeks because I did it all on 52 weeks. Like, whether it was synth stuff or rock stuff or acoustic stuff or minimal or not minimal, layered, you know, like, anything. I did it on that record. So it's, to me, it doesn't feel weird. But to a lot of other people, like, you go from making a record, like, proper into a record, like, Standards. And it's like, or especially Intersections, like, where do you draw the line? There is no line. And that's, but that's how I like it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know, I don't want to hear a band make the same album twice. It's fucking boring.
But nobody wants to hear, yeah, the style's really no style.
Yeah. Like, a, there's no know, style.
Like, cool, write an article about that.
Yeah, I think for fans and music listeners, it's just easier to get into stuff when they have, like, an easy word to attach it to and be like, oh, it sounds like this.
Yeah.
And this other band I like is also called whatever, so I would probably like Intuit Over It.
Right. But it's hard to do with us. So that's that's what's made it difficult for – that's why we're misunderstood. But I kind of dig that also, you know, and I think that, and that also creates a really strong connection with the people that like the band, because the people that do get it really get it. And the same people, I mean, there's people who've been seeing Intuit Over shows for 6 years now and are at every single show that, you know, I play in their town. And it's because that bond is, and, like, I know them by name, and, like, we, like, are friends, you know, and it's, like, met because they're just fans of the band. And it's pretty cool. It's a really personal interaction with a really strong fan base. And that's, to me, way more important.
Yeah, and by no means do I mean this in a way of, like, taking it for granted. But there is, because it, I mean, the fan base especially, because it was built in such a grassroots manner, it insulates the band a little bit, even if it never makes the huge step forward. Like, there are people that, like, really get it and really, really care about it that probably aren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Huh. trying to think, like, for the people who really get it, those people who you recognize at shows, who have been to a lot, like, how would you say they get it? Like, is there a way you can express that?
They're just, the songs just mean a lot to them. And the way they talk about the music isn't, it doesn't seem like we're, like, a fad or, like, okay, something that is, like, the people who come up and talk about it are like, hey, your music is really important to me. Mm-hmm. It's not like, hey, I really like that record. It's like your record is, this has really helped me through some stuff, you know, and it's this kind of way, like, those are the things I would say to a band if it was true, mm-hmm. you know, like, you don't just say that to a band, you know, like, your record really helped me get through the, like, some really serious dark stuff, you know, and it's like, you say that when you mean it. You don't say that just for, like, to try to, like, compliment a musician, you know what I mean? If you were just trying to, like, air a compliment, you'd be like, oh, I love your band, you know, like, that's it. But that's not the kind of compliments we get. Like, the kind of compliments we get are very serious and heartfelt and warm, and they're not creepy and they're not dismissive, and it's just very well spoken and well articulated and with a lot of care, and that's something you can just sense, you can tell, you know, and I think that's gratifying. It really makes you feel like everything we're doing is worth it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, has there been some of that recently, like maybe at the Irving show?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Every show of this tour, yeah. It's been great. And I try my best to hang as much as possible, which has been really rewarding.
Yeah, I guess that'd be like merch table, or if it's a place where you drove up and there's, you know, like a parking lot situation, just hanging by a venue, wherever.
I mean, it's all, well, considering how the project started, I mean, it was me in my car selling my own merch, doing everything by myself alone, mm-hmm. you know, and so a lot of those people, to kind of change that vibe would feel, it's kind of disingenuous, or like taking away from kind of what people really love about it, or what I really love about it. Like, that's what I really love about it. The interconnectivity is what makes it special, you know? Like, otherwise, it's just playing songs.
Yeah, otherwise, touring is unbearable.
Yeah, and we were mentioning at the top of the show how it was, like, the Irving show was the biggest Intuit Overt show yet, and how you don't really want to put, like, a cap on how big you want things to get with the band. Do you think there could be a point where it gets to be difficult to have that same genuine, intimate connection?
No, I mean, yeah, I definitely can't. Gets to a certain level and it just can't operate it the same way that it's not like me playing in your house and like fucking, you know, sitting around playing N64 with you guys, you know, like, it's definitely not that anymore, but you know, I'm gonna try to do my best to keep it as real as possible at all times.
Yeah. Waste of space, inspired sound improvements, but piece by piece they all fall in line to what has been addressed. Just like me to recover one another. I'm another impressed by how you mentioned before how you're not just trying to not reinvent yourself but not reinvent other artists, like who are, you know, the sort of bands you tour with and whatnot. Does that become difficult, or is that just sort of something that comes natural?
To reinvent myself?
Yeah, to just not to make an album that's very different than Intersections, you know.
Oh, I mean,
like that.
Well, I mean, it's intentional in the way that Josh and I are on
it's
a quest
by
to
design.
Yeah. We're on a quest to excel and to learn more and to become better players and to push ourselves creatively at all times. I feel like if we got to the point where we couldn't expand our ability, it might be time to call it. Because that to us is what it really is, like, the satisfying thing about writing music is pushing ourselves and being able to, like, do stuff that we haven't done before, make sounds that we haven't made before, or write things that we haven't written before. And if we are going to write something, like, finding new approaches to do things we already have done, maybe, or, like, find a way to make it different. Because mm-hmm. To just regurgitate the same stuff would just be, to us at least, pretty unsatisfying.
Yeah, it is a heightened fascination with just the intersection of songwriting and technicality.
Yeah. Mm. Like trying to keep it classy. Like I remember that one of my original goals, especially with the progress, my old band, was to make it as technical as possible, but to where like people who are musicians could notice how insane the playing was,
okay.
but people who don't know anything about music could still really latch onto the song.
And that's what's up, yeah. If it just sits there in the periphery.
That is like my ultimate goal, to write music that any listener can enjoy, but people who are players can notice how fucked up the shit we're doing is. to put it bluntly, like, you know, I want people to know that we know what we're doing.
I mean, that sounds like the truth, and that also sounds really hard.
Yeah, it is really hard. Yeah. That's why I got to go to a cabin for a month. That's playing 10 hours a day hard, man.
Yeah, and is that the part where it's like, how fast can you play this? How fast can you play this?
Yeah, well, and that's a lot of, I mean, time in that respect when writing is, there are the initial ideas that either of us have that are like, here's the idea, do you like this or not? And then once that happens, there's the 10 hours that it takes to like be able to present a fully formed version of that idea.
Or even be able to play the idea fluidly. You know, like many moments where you're like, I hear the guitar part and I can stumble through it, but I can't play it yet. And I got to sit and play this guitar for hours until I can play this part. Mm-hmm. Or with the drum thing, like the song specifically that I'm referencing on the How Fast Can You Play It is a song called Adult Contempt. And the song, the drum part in that song is fucked up. I feel like the final...
Because it was this slow groove that was written at like 120 BPM.
And then it like, wound up landing on like 175.
Yeah, like, all right. No!
So, but that was like, how, you know, I kind of wrote this like kind of slower groove riff to it and was like, well, what would that sound like faster? You know, and then Josh is playing with the metronome, just bumping it up 5 BPM until he physically couldn't do it anymore. And we're like, okay, well then that's the tempo of the song is going to be.
And then we recorded it 5 BPM faster.
Yeah, on the record. Yeah.
Yeah. So these people that come up to you after shows, I bet you get some gear people and some music people.
Yeah. Which is fun. That's fun for me. I dig being able to riff on stuff like that and talk about it.
How technical do the questions get?
They get pretty technical.
Yeah, it's relative to person's knowledge base.
Yeah,
that's another thing about Intuit Over at Fans is they all play in bands too.
Yeah, yeah, we are a band's band, and we
band's band.
Yeah, I dig being able to talk about, you know, what kind of amps we're using, and because we've gone through a series of setups of different tonal stuff and guitars, amps, drums, different things, and right now our setup is really pretty much my dream setup now, but. It took a long time to get there. And, I mean, it's fun getting to talk about that stuff, kind of getting to geek out about this really specific... Like, no one's going to notice the fucking caps that are in my amp that make the amp sound the way they do. Nobody gives a shit about that kind of stuff. But there's one person out there just like me who's like, well, what cap? How does that amp work? And it's like, well, these are the caps in the amp, and that's how it works. And then, you know, they're like...
Let me take out my phone and take notes right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. Like seriously,
can you say that again slower?
But like everything we have, you know, most of everything we have on the stage is custom built, and so it's, you know, it's to like the specs that we wanted and how we wanted it, and I think that's kind of cool. You know, it also helps that if we were to get robbed ever, which God for fucking bid, but if we were to ever get robbed, our stuff is so uber specific that we could probably track it down because a lot of what's on stage is one of one. You know, like, the two guitar amps we're using are the only two in the world that exist.
Yeah, the drum kit was built for us.
Yeah, the only blue acrylic drum kit CNC ever made. So, you know, it's like, there's certain things like that that are you know, hyper-specific to us, which is really cool.
Word, yeah. I mean, I don't really play, like, instruments myself, but I feel like there's a few rabbit holes right now that I could, like, dive into about
yeah,
gear.
You're
going
to get really weird. I could talk about it.
Just like talking about not wanting to reinvent yourselves or other artists, are there just any things you especially see like in the scene that you are a part of now that you're really not into or things that you try to like keep away from?
Not into or try to keep away from.
Or just things you try to avoid?
I don't know about try to avoid. I'm frankly not the best with, I'm not the worst either, but I'm not the best with like social media. And And that's hard for me because I'm trying to keep a balance between having a life that's my own personal life that I can keep private and just be my own thing, mm-hmm. and while also being open and transparent with people who are excited. Like you know, I have an Instagram account, and it's like, am I into it over at Instagram? But it's also my personal Instagram account. You know, it's like, so trying to find that balance of like posting things that I'm doing as a human that are separate from music while also posting things that are about what the band is up to and trying to keep a barrier between the two. And some bands don't keep a barrier at all. There's like no barrier whatsoever. And that's not to say that that's not right for them. It's just something that I can't do. And I don't know if that necessarily hinders or like is better or worse for Into It Over, but that's like a tough balance for me to find, like the level of how much I feel like I want to share about my own life versus how much I can how much I can share with them while still being like good at promoting the band.
Okay. See, I think the Into It Over It, I was just on the Twitter today. I think it's popping. I think it looks like you guys are really on top of it.
Well, cool. Good.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. there's friends we have that tweet that are like, or bands in general that like just post. It's hard because you'll post a poster with tour dates on it. And then I'll post a photo of my cat. And the photo of my cat will get 300 likes. And the photo of the tour poster will get like 20. You know, and you're like, why are you following this account?
Dude, exactly.
Yeah. Like I could create a cat Twitter. I could give Hugh the cat a Twitter if you want one, but but that's the difficult thing, you know, and so when your bands are like, you'd feel like you maybe like struggling for content, but like you want to post content that's going to be successful. And sometimes the successful content is the stuff that's like about my, like me, like my personal stuff that maybe I don't necessarily want to share on the internet, you know, and that's finding that balance between those things is really hard sometimes.
I think authenticity in social media is a very difficult thing to find
that,
too.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like authenticity in the way of like this is genuine because it's the internet. It's a projection of yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean authenticity in the way where it's like a streamlined, nice aesthetic, because you also see a lot of people doing things like, I'm going to just force this joke out because Twitter is supposed to be funny for emo bands. We're supposed to be quippy, because there are a lot of people that do that. And there are a lot of people that do that very well, but that doesn't make it everybody's style. So you have a lot of, I don't know, a lot of people trying to create personas that aren't even
real.
Well, aren't even good, like, fake personas for the projection of themselves, you know? Like,
yeah.
If you were going to make something up, maybe you could make something up that suited your personality a little bit better.
Yeah, or that was, like, genuine to you or how you behave and not just, like, memeing, you know? Which is, maybe that's just because we're old curmudgeon fucking people.
It's probably.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool how with every tour stop lately, you've been putting something unique to the city.
Well, so that is different. That's because there's all these internet algorithms that keep stuff from getting promoted via things like Facebook and stuff. And so if they keep seeing the same repeated tour poster over and over again, it will stop.
Oh, okay.
It'll stop blasting it to all of the people that could potentially see this poster.
And Instagram just switched to an algorithm 2 weeks ago.
So it's like trying to trick the system by posting something that doesn't necessarily look like your tour poster over and over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
But also while trying to be kind of funny about it.
Yeah. Put a Flyers logo on top of the
Hey, man, I'm born and raised. So
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about
it. I know. It was a hard day yesterday.
Cool. Well, that's all I had in mind. Is there anything else you guys want to touch on?
No. I mean, the new record's out. We're about to finish this tour and then go to Europe. And then when does this go online?
Within about a month.
Okay. So by then... We're home. We're home
okay,
now.
Okay.
We're hanging out. I'm going to be asleep for 2 months. We'll be back this summer, fall, next year.
So. Awesome.
Cool.
Cool. Thanks.
Thanks, so
guys.
Much, man.
Yeah, appreciate
sure.
it.
Yeah, so that's it. I hope you enjoyed this podcast I just did with Josh and Evan from Into It Over It. I had a blast.
yeah, as I said at the top of the show, I've been doing the Alt in Our Stars for coming up on a year and a half now. Tons of old episodes. One I think you'll really like if you enjoyed Into It Over. It was Beach Slang. Had them by the office a few months back, and we talked about stuff like this.
Really, all I try to do is think that I'm scoring John Hughes films. That's really what I try to, like, when I sit down to write songs, it really is, like, I think to myself, if I were scoring a John Hughes film, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And then I think to myself, well, how would sort of Bukowski put language to this? And then when I have that, I'm like, okay, well, what chords would Westerberg put behind it? And then it's a Beach Slang song, you know, and it probably falls well short of all three of those people, but, like, that's what I'm aiming for.
So, yeah, to check out Beach Slang, Big Ups, Courtney Barnett, all the recent episodes, all the old stuff that I've done for Alt in Our Stars, search iTunes in the podcast for the name of the show, Alt in Our Stars. You can just go into the app on your phone for podcasts, search for it there. Or if you're viewing this, listening to this podcast on billboard.com, just go towards the bottom of the story. The last paragraph, there is a link there that will send you to the same place where you can subscribe to the podcast and check out the old episodes. And also, if you could take in everything that you've heard in this podcast and give me a rating, 1 to 5 stars, doesn't matter which rating it is, all the feedback helps. And any specific advice you might have for me that can't be translated into a star rating, just hit me up on Twitter. It's at CPayne on a plane. That's CPayneOnaPlane. So yeah, that's all I have to say. We're back every Friday with a new episode on billboards.com. Until next week.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.